This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are on the lessons of from Surah Al-Luqman, the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son. Where he said, وَإِذْ قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. He said, which means, and remember when Luqman alayhi salam said to his son, when he was advising him, O my son, do not join in worship others with Allah. Verily, joining others in worship with Allah is a great zulm. It's a great wrong indeed. It's great oppression indeed. Now you might say, well, why, how is it zulm? How is it oppression? Because by doing that, the person is trying to oppress Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now obviously he cannot do that, but he is trying because he is giving something which belongs only and only to Allah, he is giving that to something which is ghairullah, which is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, if there is one thing which differentiates Islam from the rest of world religions, that is tawheed, which is pure monotheism, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu, alone, without any partners. And when we are doing that, to understand that we are not doing a favor to Allah, this is the actual fact, this is the truth. My brothers and sisters, Tawheed in Arabic means attributing oneness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and describing Him as being one and unique, with no partner or peer or equal or shareholder or companion or anything of that sort, in his essence and in his attributes, in his zat and in his sifat. So Tawheed means knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, with none like Him. Now, when I say knowing, I don't mean just intellectually having this thought in your head. It means to actually, in the deepest recesses of the heart and the mind, to know that this and only this is the truth, and that anything that goes contrary to this is not the truth. My brothers and sisters, whoever does not acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these terms and does not describe him as being one without any partner or associate, does not believe in Tawheed. No matter what the nature of that adulteration is, no matter what the nature of that belief is, anyone who does not believe and know in the deepest recesses of his heart and mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is one. هُوَ الْأَحَدُ الَّذِي لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٌ. See, even the word that is used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah did not say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. Allah said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. With wahid, there is a plural, which is ithnain, which is two. With ahad, there is no plural. Ahad is one in itself. There is nothing that can be joined with this particular concept of oneness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Himself as Al-Ahad. Qul hu Allahu Ahad. Now brothers and sisters, and therefore if someone does not believe this, then that person does not believe in Tawheed. And if someone does not believe in Tawheed, then that person is not a Muslim. Whoever gives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the qualities of His creatures, or gives creatures the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not believe in Tawheed. Tawheed means to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone as the only one worthy of worship, the sole creator, no one other than Allah creates or can create. The sole sustainer, who is the Rabb, and the only one who rewards or punishes on the Day of Judgment, when we will all return to Him Jalla Jalaluhu. This is the essence of Tawheed. The only one worthy of worship. No one else is worthy of worship. The only creator, no one creates other than Allah. The only sustainer, the only Rabb, and that is why this translation of the word Rabb as Lord is one of the things that I don't accept and I object to it, because it does not give us the essence of the meaning of the word Rabb. Rabb is much more than Lord. Lord can just mean a superior authority. A Lord does not necessarily have to own you, does not necessarily have to do anything for you, does not necessarily have to sustain you and protect you and so on and so forth. Whereas Rabbul Alameen, the Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why only He is the Rabb. When Allah is the Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the complete and total authority. He is the one who gives all His creatures, big and small, what we can see and what we cannot see. What is so small we cannot see, what is so big we cannot see. And everything else in between. Every single thing He created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the Rabb means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives each of them whatever they need. And in that giving of His, He does not need the help of anyone. He doesn't give it with the help of anyone. He does not need anyone else to run this whole system on His behalf. Allah does not have assistants. Allah does not have a hierarchy, an organization that He is the CEO of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone by Himself. And whatever He does, the sustenance for that, the energy for that, the life for that, everything comes from Him alone. Now you might say, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed angels, and those angels Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders to do some things. Now, two things to understand. Firstly, that Allah does not need those angels to do those things. For example, in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly ordered the fire to become a means of safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah was not dependent on Jibreel alayhi salam to go and do something for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels and they do things and they are His creatures. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has trees. See all these trees behind me, all the different shades of green, and then you have this maple, which is that beautiful shade of maroon. And one of the functions of these trees is that they perform photosynthesis. They, in the presence of chlorophyll, in the presence of sunlight, they use chlorophyll, which is in their leaves, and they produce starch. And in that whole process, they use up carbon dioxide, and they the excretion of that, the what they let out is oxygen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is maintaining a balance of oxygen, a concentration of oxygen in the atmosphere of the earth. And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the trees as the means to make that happen, to do that. And this production of oxygen. And these trees are only one of the things. I mean, the things that we produce, the things which produce the greatest amount of oxygen are not even on the earth. They are in the sea. But the point I'm making here is that Allah is not dependent on these trees to produce oxygen. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to produce oxygen, Allah would have produced oxygen without the trees, without having any need for the trees in order for the oxygen to be produced, and so on and so forth. So also the angels. The malaika perform a certain function. That's the reason for that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created all of this creation, in the creation He created systems. So that each is a self-sustaining system that works by itself. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produced the prototype of the human being, That was Adam alayhi salam and our mother Hawa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them from nothing. Right? Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam were created. There was nothing before that, meaning that there wasn't another kind of human being that Allah converted. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I created Adam alayhi salam from clay. Allah did not need that clay. Where did that clay come from? Allah made this clay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the raw material that he needed to produce the product that he needed. And this product in this case was Adam alayhi salam. And having created Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, alayhi musalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then created a process of procreation for the procreation and for the perpetuation and propagation of the human race. And just so that we don't get ourselves confused into believing that Allah is dependent on this process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us and pointed it out to us and said that Adam and Hawa were not created by the same process. They were created independent of this process. Then Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created again independent of this process. All of these are signs for us to recognize that the one doing all of this is not whatever we are seeing, but it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, Jalla Jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb, is the sustainer. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return on the day of judgment. He is the Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the one who will call us to account. He is the one who will reward and punish. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his reward. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety from his punishment. Now, Tawheed is generally for the sake of understanding, it is divided into three different branches. Tawheed of, we call it Tawheed al-Uluhiyat, Tawheed al-Rububiyat, and Tawheed Asma wa Sifat. So, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and that there has no partner or associate being the creator and the sustainer of his creation, as the Rabbul Alameen, this is Tawheedul Rububiyat. And there is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship. In his divinity, he is alone, has no partners. This is Tawheed of the Ilah or Tawheed of Uluhiyat. And his names and attributes, his Asma wa Sifat Illahi Ta'ala, that these are for him alone. And again, in them there are no partners. This is called Tawheedul Asma wa Sifat. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Suratul Ikhlas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. He said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is Allah, He is the one. And again, as I said, Allah did not say Wahid, He said Ahad. So we are constrained by the translation because in English we don't have a word other than one to say one. But as I said, one has a two. One has a plural, whereas Ahad in Arabic has no plural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called himself Al-Ahad. He didn't say Al-Wahid. So he said, Hu Allahu Ahad. He is the one. Allahu Samad. Allah is completely self-sufficient. He is the master. He does not answer to anybody. Everything else answers to him. He is in complete and total control. He is self-sufficient in himself. He does not need anything from anybody. But everything in creation needs him. And he provides for them. He neither eats nor drinks. He does not sleep. All the attributes which are common to creatures are Allah is free from all of those attributes. And then he said, Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. He does not beget and nor was he begotten. Allah has no sons and no daughters, and Allah has no father and no mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no one with whom he has any relationship like we have relationship with those who gave birth to us or who we give birth to. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, and there is no one who is equal or who is comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah said, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and your ilah, your God, your deity, the one you worship, is one ilah. Your Rabb is one Rabb. Your ilah is one ilah. La ilaha illa hu. There is no one who has the right to be worshipped other than him, but him. And he is who? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the most gracious and the most merciful. Ar-Rahman is on the wazan of Al-Jaw'an, Al-Atshan, Al-Ghadban, the most hungry, the most thirsty, most angry. It's on this wazan, it's on the same meter as these words, to show a peak of something. Somebody who say, if I say ana jaw'an, I mean I'm hungry, means I'm so hungry, it's incredibly hungry. There's nothing, I can't be hungrier than that. There's a vast emptiness within me. So peak of something. And then Rahim is on the same wazan, on the same meter as Jamil, as Kareem, which means that something which sustains, which goes on, and it doesn't stop, and it doesn't convert, doesn't go backwards. So Jamil is beautiful. Who continues to be beautiful? Kareem is somebody who has Izzah, who has prestige and honor, and this continues. You can't be Kareem one day and the next day you have lost all your Izzah. Of course, human beings can do that because human beings do stupid things. But the general meaning of the general meter of these words, this is what it means. Now, when we combine these two and Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then inshallah we come up with the meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, his mercy, is at the peak in Ar-Rahman, and this peak continues in Ar-Rahim. So it is mercy with a big difference from anything that we may feel, because every peak has a decline. If I'm extremely hungry, even if I eat one piece of bread, then if there was a measuring device to measure my hunger, then this measuring device would indicate that peak of hunger has come down a little bit, maybe by a couple of points, because I have eaten this piece of bread. It's not, my peak is no longer at that place where it was. But in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah never decreases. The mercy of Allah is at the peak, and in his sifat as Ar-Rahim, this peak continues. The peak does not decline. And this is the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا إِلَهُ وَاحِدٍ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهُوا عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ لَيَمَسَّنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, surely there are disbelievers who said Allah is the third of the three, which is Allah is one of a trinity. But there is no ilah, there is no God, there is no one worthy of worship except the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they do not cease from what they say, verily a painful torment will fall on the disbelievers among them. Now, this refers to the Christian concept of Trinity. It's interesting, and to me it's an endlessly fascinating subject. How and why, in this particular case, as far as the Trinity is concerned, even though the history of this whole thing is perfectly preserved and clear, Trinity was never the fundamental creed or belief of the people who followed Isa alayhi salam. It was not. The people who followed Isa alayhi salam were very few people at that time, in the time of the Romans, and they were literally underground because of persecution. They were, you know, they had to try to save themselves. And then only after Peter came along, that Christianity got some, the word Christianity itself is something that we don't accept as a word. It is a religion, obviously, but it's the followers of Isa alayhi salam were Muslims. So we don't say that they are Christians because this is a different, it would be a different word. So they're not followers of, they don't worship Isa alayhi salam. But then Constantine came, and when Constantine became the Roman emperor, Constantine accepted Christianity. And at that time in Christianity, there were many different aqaid, there were many different creeds, and many different forms of belief, which included, of course, those who believed in Isa alayhi salam as the messenger of Allah. They didn't give divinity to Isa alayhi salam. But Constantine came, and Constantine is the one who brought in this whole concept of Trinity. He gave divinity to Isa alayhi salam. And it's not difficult to understand why Constantine would have done that, because the Romans were idol worshippers. By themselves, the Romans were people who came from an idol worshipping background. So Constantine, that was the background Constantine came from. And so he was probably much more comfortable with dealing with that. So for him to, within quotes, promote Isa alayhi salam into a deity to be worshipped was easier than for him to understand that the worship belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who cannot be seen and who cannot be, we can't see him, we can't hear him, we can't touch and feel him, but we see his signs in the creation, and we believe him, in him, because his messenger, in that case, Isa alayhi salam, came and told us that. So Constantine, that was a more of a stretch. And then, of course, kings are never very amenable to the concept of accountability to anybody else. So if for him, it was easier to, make Isa alayhi salam into a deity to be worshipped, which is what he ended up doing. And so this Trinity thing came into being after that, what is called a synod, which is the meeting of all the bishops and so on and so forth. And Constantine then he enforced his aqidah by killing everybody else. So all the bishops who and other priests who did not believe in this were eliminated. They were just slaughtered. They were killed. And whatever books and so on that were there, these were destroyed. And Constantine ensured that there was only one version of the Christian religion, which is basically Islam. The reason I'm saying this is because the same logic was applied to Muslims by the Orientalists, and they called us Muhammadans. Like they called Isa alayhi salam, even Jesus, they stopped calling him Jesus. They called him Christ, meaning the one who was crucified. And of course, we don't believe that he was crucified. Interestingly, there's a new Bible, the new discovery of an old Bible that has come out, which says now that Isa alayhi salam was not crucified. So hopefully, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of realization on people of what the actual truth was. So here was a case of Isa alayhi salam, who was, so the Christians believed that Isa alayhi salam was crucified, so they called him Christ, and those who believed in him, they called him Christians. So the Orientalists also then started calling Muslims Muhammadans, people who believe in Muhammad. We are not Muhammadans, we are Muslim. We are Muslim, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is our Rabb, is our Nabi, and he is the Rasul of Allah. And he is the last and final Rasul of Allah, after whom there is no other Rasul. So this is the important thing for us to understand. So in the Christians did that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that when they make that statement, they talk about the Trinity, what they call the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And by Holy Ghost, they mean Jibreel alayhi salam. So they're worshipping three. They say God the Father, God the Son. There's another aspect of it, which is they say that they're all divine, God the Father, God the Son, then Isa alayhi salam was a human being. I mean, they know that. We know that. Isa alayhi salam used to eat and drink, and Isa alayhi salam used to go to sleep and wake up and so on and so forth. And he was a human being and he functioned like a human being. But they choose to ignore that. And they say he was God in human form, which is the... In Hinduism, you have the concept of avatar. They say God came to the earth in this form or that form. He took the shape of a human being. He took the shape of an animal and so forth. Now, we don't believe in all of this. For us, all of this is false. All of these are philosophies. All of these are figments of the imagination. And we do not contribute and we do not subscribe to any of them whatsoever. We do not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to descend on the earth in one form or the other in order to do something. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do something, He says, happen and it happens. Kun fayakun. He says, kun. He says, go, happen. And fayakun, and it happens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to come and do anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make everything happen. That's the reason why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not worship a superman. We don't worship somebody who is really like us, except that, you know, he's bigger and better, he's stronger, and so on and so forth. I can also see, and this superman can also see. He can see a bit further. He doesn't need glasses. This is not our concept of... for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, laysa kamislihi shayun, wa huwa samiul basir. There is nothing of the creation in him. He is not like anything in creation. There is nothing in creation which is like Allah. Nothing in creation has the qualities and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our belief. Alhamdulillah. Now in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, it is narrated that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen, he said to him, you are going to people from among the people of the book. Because the Yemenis were Christian. Most of them were Christian. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. Mu'adh bin Jabal was one of his favorite sahaba. He was a young man. He was from the people of Medina. Munawwara, he was, even personality-wise, he was a very handsome person. And he was one of the great scholars of Islam. So he was very learned in the deen also. And he had the pleasure and the great privilege and the great advantage of having the personal coaching and mentorship of none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, you are going to people from among the people of the book. So let the first thing to which you call them be Tawheed, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Now look at this. See, this is also, this hadith is a very beautiful hadith, which also gives us the principles of da'wah, of how we are supposed to give da'wah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, invite them to the Tawheed of Allah. Invite them to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they accept that, then tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined on them 5 prayers in the day and night. Every day and night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard on them, has enjoined on them 5 prayers. And if they pray, then tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined on them zakat from their wealth to be taken from their rich and given to their poor. And if they agree to that, then take it from them, but avoid the best of people's wealth. Now this is so incredibly beautiful, this hadith, in terms of its wisdom, in terms of the understanding of human psychology. Think about this. The whole sequence, first of all, of what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. He says the first thing to them is, invite them towards Tawheed. Remember, he didn't say, go and challenge them, challenge their bishops to a debate on Tawheed and destroy them on stage. He didn't say this, right? He said, invite people towards Tawheed. How do you invite? You don't have to say it. If somebody says, come here, otherwise I will separate your head from your body, this is not an invitation, this is a threat, right? If you say, come here or I will sack you, come here or I will put you in jail, you know, come here or I'll beat you, this is not an invitation, this is a threat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say, go threaten them. He said, go invite them. What is the meaning of inviting? If I invite you to my house, how do you expect that invitation to be? That you would expect that invitation to be made with a smile on my face, to be made with love, with affection, honoring you, respecting you, right? I won't come and if I come and treat you in a way which is in any way demeaning, in any way degrading, then this is not an invitation. Call it what you want. I mean, I still want you in my house, but that would not be an invitation. An invitation means something which comes to you with beauty, with grace, with softness, and so on and so forth. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying to Mu'adh bin Jabal, invite them toward the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By all means clarify doubts, by all means present Tawheed to them, by all means if they bring for you or they bring to you their own Aqeedah and say, now hold on a minute, you are telling me I must worship Allah alone, but we have been told that we should worship Isa alayhi salam. We have been told that we should ask Isa alayhi salam for help if we need help. What do you say about that? Now, by all means, clarify that. I have to clarify that. For example, if you take today, even if among the Muslims, we have people who believe, who go to graves, for example, graves of saints or so-called saints. Again, the problem with all of this is that we have taken the concepts of other religions. In Islam, there are no saints. In Islam, we have scholars of Islam. We had people, good people, alhamdulillah, salihin, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we expect and we ask Allah to reward them. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that he has given darjat to good people. But Allah did not name any of them. Allah only named the Anbiya alayhimus salam. He only named the prophets. Other than the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not name anyone. So if I say about someone other than the prophet, other than a prophet, other than a Nabi, other than a Rasul, that so-and-so was a great wali of Allah, then effectively I am speaking without knowledge, because I don't know that. Now that does not mean that that person is not a wali. I mean, wallahu alam, maybe he's a wali, maybe he's not a wali. I am saying that for me to make a definitive statement, I need to have proof. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, please understand, we do not have a religion which is based on superstition. We do not have a religion which is based on philosophy. We do not have a religion which is based on what comes out of, you know, somebody's head or somebody's heart or somebody's dream and so on and so forth. We have a religion which is based on a book, a kitab, which is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was revealed to his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who taught us this book, and he did that with complete and total integrity, keeping to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to teach us this book. Right? This is our belief. So therefore, anything we believe related to our religion finds and must find its root in the kitab of Allah and in the teachings of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever it is, whatever it is. If it has to do with Islam, if it has to do with an act of worship, if it has to do with a act of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it has to do with the deen of Islam, then necessarily that must have a dalil. That must have a proof, that must have evidence that relates and comes from the kitab of Allah, from the book of Allah, or from the sunnah, which is the way, which is the teaching of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there is anything which comes other than that, from some other source, then we do not accept it unless we can trace it to the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now there are many philosophies in Islam. These are philosophies. We must understand them as philosophies. For example, there is a philosophy of Wahdatul Wujud. There is no link of that to the Kitab of Allah or the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a philosophy, and it may look like a nice philosophy. Wallahu alam, one can read it, one can enjoy it. But please understand, that is not Islam, that is not Deen, that is not the Aqeedah of Tawheed, that is not the Quran, that is not the Sunnah. That is a philosophy. There is a philosophy of called Insane Kamil, right? And there are people who have written, and I'm deliberately not taking names because it is not my job here to list any names. but some very eminent scholars, they have talked about this, what is called insane kamil, the perfect human being. And one of the things they have mentioned in this insane kamil concept is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes tajalli on the heart of the perfect human being. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say make tajalli, I don't think anybody has an actual description or understanding of what that means. So basically they mean that in some way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down something onto the person's heart. Where is this in the Quran? Tell me, does Allah say anywhere that he sends down something on the heart of people? Allah said he sent wahi, right? And he sent wahi to Musa, he sent wahi to the Anbiya alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends wahi. Now what is the nature of this wahi? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us. But anything other than that, if somebody says this is insane kamil, and now problem is that we have taken from people of other faiths, people of other religions, and we have unfortunately attached those things to our religion. This is a real injustice, because alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a religion which He perfected and completed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam dinan. Allah said, I have completed my blessing on you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have completed the religion and I have chosen Islam as your religion. This is Allah completed it. So where is the question of us taking from anybody? But may Allah protect us. This is the problem, and unfortunately, this becomes a problem of people who acquire knowledge and then they get sidetracked by shaitan somewhere, and they believe that they are great scholars, but they are now on a path which is not leading to anything worthwhile. So please differentiate between philosophy and the tawhid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Philosophy is not tawhid. Philosophy is philosophy. The issue of the tawhid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned again, and I'm repeating myself, and I'm deliberately repeating myself, which is that if there is anything in Islam which is anything to do with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything to do with the with devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it must necessarily find a root in the kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying to Mu'adh bin Jabal, invite them towards Islam. By all means clarify their doubts and so on and so on, but explain to them, this is the deen of Allah. This deen of Allah is not based on superstition. This deen of Allah is not based on philosophy. This deen of Allah is not based on any extraction and extrapolation or any within quotes logical thinking that you may have come up with. This deen is based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly told us. How do we know that Allah has an arsh? Because Allah told us. How do we know that there is a Jannah and there is a Jahannam? Because Allah told us. How do we know that there is a day of judgment? Because Allah told us. We are not saying, the day of judgment is a very important thing. We should have a day of judgment, because there are so many people in this world who do all kinds of injustice, and apparently they get away with it because nothing happens to them. They don't go to jail, they're not punished, nothing. They live on the peak of their injustice and they die like that. And of course, that means they enjoyed all this. And so therefore, we need to have a concept called day of judgment. No. There's no concept. There is a day of judgment. I sometimes say that if there wasn't a day of judgment, if this was not fact, then humankind would have had to invent it as a philosophy in order to survive and in order to retain its sanity. Because how can you otherwise live with this situation in this world? But in alhamdulillah, we don't have to invent anything. It is there. How do you know? Because it is there. How do we know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a messenger of Allah, that he was a Rasul of Allah? How do we know that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah said, Muhammadur Rasulullah. والذين معه أشداء على الكفار ورحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. So therefore we have, how do we know Isa alayhi salam is a Nabi of Allah? Because Allah said so. How do we know that Ibrahim alayhi salam was a messenger of Allah? Because Allah said so. And so on and so on. How do we know? Because Allah said so. That is our dalil. That's how we know our Islam. So invite them toward Islam. And I'm going to end with this. The hadith is mashallah, alhamdulillah, it's beautiful and it is long, and we will look at it from the on another time. But for this today, this is enough. That to keep this in mind and say that we do not believe in philosophies. We believe in the Kitab of Allah, and we believe in the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we do not believe in anything other than that. My brothers and sisters, very important for us to understand this and keep this in mind, and to ensure that we do not adulterate and we do not mix up our Tawheed with anything else. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, and to accept our devotion and to accept and to keep us pure, and to ensure that our aqidah with respect to Allah is pure and it is not marred or adulterated by anything other than what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, and that is La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Then Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the last and final messenger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. I ask Allah to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.